In the parsha of the Har, the very beginning, the Torah actually presents the dinim of Shemitah and Yovel. And what is very striking, it's very clear that there is a common denominator to both Shemitah and Yovel, which of course refers to the Iser against working the land. And when one reads the Pesukim, certainly one has that sense that that area is common to both. Let's just read some of the Pesukim. However, what I would like to do is I would like to point out to you that conceptually, there's a fundamental distinction, or several fundamental distinctions, between Shemitah and Yovel. Even though they seem to have a common denominator, and I'll read the Pesukim, starting from Perek Chafei, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'har Sinai le'mor, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamartu aleihem, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, v'shabesama aretz shabas Hashem. You know the name of Rav Kook's Sefer that you wrote on Shemitah is called Shabbat Aretz. They say over actually from the Panovich Rav, Zecher Tzadik LeBracha, that during the course of the Shemitah year, the very beginning, the Panovich Rav would literally, this is what I hear, actually I read it as well, he would bend down and kiss the tree, and he would say, Good Shabbos. Say Good Shabbos in the tree. Being that the Shemitah year is the year of, as the Torah describes it, Shabbos Hashem. I just continue in a few psukim. Sheshonim tizra sadecha, v'sheshonim tizmor kamecha. 6 years you sow, and 6 years you prune. V'yasavta tzvuasa, you gather in the harvest. Pasidalit, u'bashana hashviyis, Shabbos Shabbosom yel oretz, Shabbos Hashem. 7th year is the year which is Shabbos. Sadecha lo sizra, you can't sow the field. Kamecha lo sizra, you can't prune the vineyard. And the Torah continues in Pasuk Kei. Eisviach katircha lo siktar. Inve nizirecha lo siktar. Shnash Shabbos on the Eretz. A sabbatical year of Eretz Israel. And again, Pasuk Vav, you can see this idea repeated a number of times. Vahoysa Shabbos Eretz lachem liyochla. The Chazal derived from this Pasuk many halachas. La'achla v'la l'schara, one of the most famous dinim in Shvius. L'chol li'avdecha v'la masecha v'l'ischircha v'l'sarshocha agar mimach. V'levhemtecha v'l'achay asher v'atzecha t'yeh kol t'vasa l'echol. Subsequently, in Pasuk Ches, the Torah begins now a discussion leading up to Yovel. There are going to be 7 years times seven, namely seven-year cycles. V'savar d'cha li'avdecha to count. Sheva shapsos shonim, sheva shonim, sheva pamim. Vayulecha yemei sheva shapsos hashonim. Sachako teisha v'yarkoim shonim. 49 years. And then we have, of course, in the sugya of Masechta Hashanah, we're familiar with pasuk tes va'avarta shofar tu'a v'chodesh hashivi v'asar chodesh. The obligation to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur shel Yovel. B'yom Kippurim tavir shofar v'chol ha'artzechem. Pasuk yud v'kidashtem, the sanctification of the 50th year. Ukrasim dror ba'aretz lechol yoshveh. Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land on the cracked liberty bell in the city of Bavlila. This is the source, of course, of that idea, right here in this pasuk. I once went to visit the liberty bell in the city of Bavlila, which I believe is in and of itself fascinating. Why is it called the city of Bavlila? Anyone know?
No, Quakers.
Correct. That is exactly the source of it. Because of the Quakers. So the Pasuk Yud says, you sanctified that 50th year. V'shavtem mishal achuzasa mishal mishpachto toshuvu yodal. Yovel ishnasach anishim shonot yelachem. Again, the Torah says, lo sizrou, you cannot sow the land. V'lo sitzuru asvichel, you can't harvest. V'lo sitzuru asnizirel. Ki yovel ikonishti yelachem en asada tochlu suwasa. V'shnasa yovel azos toshuvu ishal achuzasa. So if I were to ask you, what is the common denominator between Shemitah and Yovel, the way the Torah presents Shemitah and Yovel, the very outset of Parshas Bahar, the answer is the Iser of working the land. The Iser of Avodas Karka, that seems to be the common denominator between these two. However, as I said to you at the outset, I would like to draw a number of very fundamental, conceptual, discriminating distinctions between Shemitah and Yovel. So now let's look a bit more carefully at the Pesukim that we just read. Again, if you notice, let's say, the original presentation of Shemitah, so obviously you clearly did notice it. There's one term that is used, as I mentioned, repeatedly. that the Torah describes Shemitah by using what terminology? Correct. Shabbos Hashem. The fact that Shemitah is compared to Shabbos, we see that number one in Pasuk Beis. And then again, the Torah says in Pasuk Dalet, it uses actually the expression first, Shabbos Shabbosov Yel Haaretz, and again Shabbos Hashem, which is the second time, the third time in Pasuk K, Shna Shabbosov Yel Haaretz, the fourth time in Pasuk Vav, Oisa Shabbos Haaretz Lachem Liachla, and again you see this in Pasuk Ches, Sheva Shapso Shonim, Sheva Shapso Hashonim Teshav Yavroi Shonim. So it's rather obvious that with reference to Shemitah, the Torah has described it as a kind of Shabbos. As I mentioned to you, the Sefer of Rav Kook and Hilchos Shemitah is called Shabbat Haaretz. That's the term that he uses to describe the Shemitah year. Now take a look at Yovel. Now here you have to look a bit more carefully. Just search when the Torah describes Yovel, starting from Pasuk Ches. Let's take all the way to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Here, Yovel, you're an expert in this. Take a look at the Psukim and tell me, how would you characterize, or what term perhaps, even though this term is not as used as repeatedly as the term that we find with reference to Shemitah, but still I believe there is a makom to really come to a certain conclusion regarding Yovel as well. What term or what verb, what verbal form does the Torah use vis-a-vis Yovel that clearly is markedly different than that which is used in the context of Shemitah? Yeah. That's an aspect, I agree, that's an aspect of what happens at Yovel. At Yovel, people who are, shall we say, compelled to, unfortunately, and in some cases tragically, to either part from their homestead or return to their homestead. You are right. But that's only an aspect. I'm looking for a word that characterizes and describes the very nature of what's happening at Yovel. And that is? Yeah?
Avar.
Correct. I believe that's the term. Once again, the Rhodes Scholar has come through. So the term that I wanted you to really see is the term, basically, of Kedusha. Take a look in, starting with Pasuk, Yud B'Kidashte Meshnasa Hamishim Shona. So there the term is used, and then the Pasuk in base, Ki Yoveli Kodesh Tiyavachem. The fundamental distinction between Shemitah and Yovel, I will describe that in a moment. I will get to it in a few moments, and perhaps I should, even at this point, spell it out. But I'll wait, because I want to show you first several other distinctions besides this distinction. Yeah?
It says Shalton Hashem, and I'm referring to Shemitah.
And?
It says Lachem.
Excellent. Beautiful. Another absolutely very fundamental distinction. You hear what Ari said? It's excellent. You pointed out, look at the Lashon. Let's use the reference to Shemitah, Shabbos Hashem, Shabbos Hashem, Shnat Shabbos Yel Haaretz, Mashen came when it comes to, when it comes to Yovel, what's the term? Vahayu Lecha, let's start with Pasuk Ches. Vahayu Lecha, if you don't mind the Tzum earlier, Yemei Sheva Shabbos Hashem, Teshuvi Abayim Shana, and then, as he pointed out, which Pasuk did you quote, where is it? Yovel Hiti Yel Haaretz, and Pasuk Yud, and again, Pasuk Yud Aleph, everyone see it? Yovel each nasa chamishim shana tiyah lachem. And then the pasuk yud beis, ki yovel each kamish tiyah lachem. So it's very clear, one is lachem, and one is lachem. It's a very fundamental distinction, again, based on the text, that I'm very fond of examining carefully. A very fundamental distinction between Yovel and Shemitah. Continue. Yes?
Is Yovel inherently kadosh, or do we have to be kadosh?
Okay, that I will discuss. I'll get to it. It's also many sugyas and shas that I assume you are familiar with anyway, but we will get to it momentarily. But that's a very important second distinction between Yovel and Shemitah. I just want to perhaps draw your attention to a third distinction, and that's something that you obviously either are aware of or not aware of, but Shemitah exclusively, seemingly, relates, at least according to the Torah, relates to Karka, relates to the real estate of Eretz itself. And that you see from the term Aretz, which of course is utilized repeatedly in starting with Pasuk Beis, Kisavo Aretz, Vishavsa Aretz, Shabbos Hashem, and the fact that you are focused on, thank you, the fact that I was about to reveal, the fact that you are focused on the fields, and on the Kramim, and on the Tzvua, and the word Aretz of course occurs many, many times, Pasuk Dalet, Shnash Shabbos Shabbos Yela Aretz. And then continuing in Pasuk K, the end of the Pasuk, Shna Shabbos in Yela Aretz. Pasuk Vav, Vaisa Shabbos Aretz, Lachem Liachla. Again, it's clear, Pasuk Zayin as well, V'lamentecha L'chay Hashem B'yartzecha. So the focus is on Eretz Yisrael, on the Karka of Eretz Yisrael, However, you probably are aware, if you learn the Gemara Maseches Gittin, the Gemara Daf Lamed Vav, the Gemara points out there is another aspect of Shemitah, even though that aspect actually does not seem to be the focus of Shemitah. The focus of Shemitah clearly is the Karka of Eretz Yisrael. But there is another aspect of Shemitah, namely, not only is there Shemitah's Karka, there's another din, which you certainly are aware of, and that din is called the din of Shemitah's Ksofim. Correct? And in the course of the Shemitah year, what happens to all loans? All loans are automatically rescinded, are essentially nullified, are rendered null and void. Now, even though it's not mentioned directly here in the Parsha in Bahar, however, if you take a look for a moment in Parsha's Ray, look at Ray. In Dvarim, Perek Tes Vav, there the Torah addresses another aspect of Shemitah. Do you have it? Oh, you don't have it? I'm sorry. But in Perek Tes Vav, Perek Tes Vav plus the Galav, everyone have it, page 470 in Dvarim. The Torah here addressed the second aspect of Shemitah, which is Miket Sheva Shonim Tasa Shemitah, every 7 years. Vizet Var Shemitah Shomo Kabal Mashay Ado Hashay Hashem Reyu Lo Yigos Esrael V'etachim. We have a law here. You're not supposed to exact. Exact what? A loan. A halva. To go after a loan that you lent money to someone. Why? Ki Kama Shemitah L'Hashem. Esanach V'tigos Hashay Yelecha Sanchicha Tashmi Yadecha. And the Torah says, if you do so, you will be given a bracha. That's what the Torah goes on to describe. And this is a very fundamental aspect of Shemitah. I think I mentioned this morning, but not in this context necessarily. I heard from my Rebbe, Nisim Albers, at Hatzalik de Bracha, whose yard time is this past Shabbos. So he had a very fascinating call. He pointed out that every time the Torah mentions a mitzvah more than once, for example, the mitzvah of blowing shofar Rosh Hashanah, the Torah has two references to it. One in the Parsha of Emor, and one in the Parsha of Pinchas. In Emor, the Torah uses the expression, Zichron Trua. Rosh Hashanah, as you undoubtedly are aware, refers to this in the beginning of the fourth parak, and also elsewhere. And then the Pasuk in Pinchas mentions, Yom Trua Yelachem. So Chazal, you know, the Gemara does Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, why does it say one place Yom Trua, one place Zichron Trua? What does the Gemara say? One refers to Rosh Hashanah Shechadu Yos Shabbos, when of course you don't blow the shofar. So then we don't have Yom Trua, but we have Zichron Trua. And the other refers to Rosh Hashanah Shechadu Yos B'Yom Chol, where of course we have Yom Trua. But my Rebbe said that, you know, there's Machlokes of Rishonim. What is the mitzvah of shofar? The mitzvah Shmia or the mitzvah is Tkia? Most Rishonim assume the mitzvah is
Shmia.
That's why the bracha reflects it. The bracha we say is the bracha of the Shmoa called shofar. So which of the two would you say is probably the more central, the more significant or predominant feature of shofar? The answer is the mitzvah of Shmia. How do we know that? Because the word Zichron Trua is mentioned before Yom Trua. Yom Trua is in Pinchas, Zichron Trua is in Emor, and my Rebbe said the rule of the Torah is whichever pasuk is mentioned first, that becomes the, shall we say, more significant aspect of the mitzvah. Very fascinating klal. And here also, I would say, on my own, based on this klal, the same idea. Shemitah has two aspects. The first time Shemitah is mentioned in Bahar, what is the focus? Karka, real estate. Here in Parsha Ve'eh, there's another aspect of Shemitah, namely Shemitah's Ksofim, correct? The fact that loans are, in effect, voided, rendered null and void, negated, and nullified. So which is the most significant aspect of Shemitah, clearly? Shemitah's Karka. And the Gemara says in Gittin, the famous Gemara, the Gemara Daf Lamed Vav, I believe it is, the Gemara says that B'shtei Shemitos, Rebbe said, B'shtei Shemitos, HaKosim V'Daber. He derives it from this Pasuk in Re'eh. B'zeh Dvar Shemitah, Pasuk Beis. B'zeh Dvar Shemitah, Shomot, says the Gemara, B'shtei Shemitos, HaKosim V'Daber. The Torah is alluding to two different types of Shemitah. It says, B'zeh Dvar HaShemitah, Shomot. There are two Shemitahs, two genres of Shemitah that are being alluded to here. One is Shemitah's Karka, and one is Shemitah's Ksofim. But it's clear the doggish chazak of Shemitah is on what? Is on Karka. V'haraya, where is it mentioned? In the Parsha Bahar, the first time. And as I mentioned, the word Haaretz occurs and recurs many, many times, indicating to you that's the focus of the din of Shemitah. And again, go back now to the Parsha Bahar. This is in contrast to Yovel. If I were to ask you, whom is the focus of Yovel? Undoubtedly, Yovel also has in it the element of Shemitah's Karka, that the land has to rest, the land has to lie fallow. But if I were to ask you, whom is the focus of Yovel? Is the focus of Yovel the Karka, or the focus of, correct, excellent, what Max said. The focus of Yovel is the person. How do I know that? Take a look at the Psukim. As first of all, what Ari said, the word Lecha and Lachem, but beyond that, the action that's taking place over here, take a look. Misafarta Lecha. Upon whom does that devolve, that mitzvah of counting? Upon the person. V'hayu lecha, pasuk ches. V'amarta, you shall be the one who's going to blow the shofar. Tavir shofar b'chal artzachem. V'kidashtem, you will sanctify. Correct? U'krosem, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land. That's you, the gavra. Yogal iti yalachem, the gavra. V'shata mishalach uzaso, the gavra. V'yishal shpat d'ashuvah, the gavra. Yovel ish nasach hamishim shonot yalachem, the gavra. And also, if I were to ask you, what's the distinction between Shemitah and Yovel? Shemitah goes on the Chepta. And Yovel goes on the Gavra. You know what I'm saying? One relates to the Karka, relates to the real estate of Eretz Yisrael, and one clearly relates to the individual who is obligated to carry out a series of directives that the Torah actually indicates to us that we're going to do. You know, Ephraim?
Yeah.
The distinction between Chetz and Gavra. It's very clear that you had this distinction. Okay, so now let us, shall we say, maybe summarize the three distinctions between Shemitah and Yovel. Distinction number one is what I just said this moment, Chetz versus Gavra. Shemitah is focused on the Karka of Eretz Yisrael. Yovel is focused on the Gavra, the personality in the Jew, who's supposed to comply and observe the laws of Shemitah. Number two, and this perhaps I did not yet spell out, and I would like to spell that out a bit more now. If I were to ask you, in terms of the tone, and you more or less have the same idea embedded in the first distinction, but I want to spell a second distinction out a bit more, if you don't mind. In Shemitah, I would say the overwhelming, overriding tone is one of passivity. Passivity means Sheval Taseh. What does the Torah say? Notice what the Torah says. On the seventh year, Sadecha lo sizra, Pasuk Dalet. Karmecha lo sizmar. Sviach ketzircha lo sitzar. In benizirecha lo sitzar. Everything is what? Low, low, low. Which basically means that you have to be passive during the Shemitah year. Correct? We're not allowed to work, we're not allowed to engage in all these different agricultural activities. Masha'en Cain, Yovel, there is, I would say, even frenetic activity taking place on Yovel. There is pulsating excitement that is happening. There are this, as they call it here, a Hebrew word that they think is, of course, a Hebrew word, habe action. A lot of action is taking place in the course of Yovel. V'safarta lecha, v'amarta, ta'aviru, v'kidashte, ukrose, tashuvu. People are, shall we say, being reunited with their homestead that they were dislocated from. So essentially what's happening in Yovel, there is incredible frenetic action taking place, and therefore really, if I were to even perhaps try to capture the distinction between Shemitah and Yovel, I would say that Shemitah essentially is a year of minucha, of equanimity, of composure, of stolid, phlegmatic kind of tones that seem to reign supreme. And Yovel, in very sharp contradistinction, as I said before, action. Harbe action. See, that's why I speak Hebrew so well. My Hebrew consists of, really, divided into three sections. Three segments, if you will. Segment number one is Milim Lo'aziyot. I simply take English, and I transliterate it, and I have, of course, Hebrew. That's 50 to 60% of my Hebrew. The next section of my Hebrew is real Hebrew. That's about 10%. And the rest is slang. I'm a chuneh slang. That's probably part of the first as well. 90%. So 10% Hebrew, that's all you have to have is 10% Hebrew. And I can speak Hebrew fluently without a problem. Let me just mention this point. So basically what I'm saying is that Yovel is a time of tremendous activity, frenzied, frenetic activity, excitement, as I said. There was a lot of movement, a lot of action taking place. Rav Kook actually, in his Sefer, Shabbat Haaretz, if you saw the Hakdama, it's good to read the Hakdama of that Sefer, the introduction, it's good to read the Sefer itself. But Rav Kook in the Hakdama really is just amazing what he wrote over there. And he describes an entire revolution that's taking place. He calls it Mered Bli Praot, a revolution without violence. I assume you're aware of, maybe you read about it, obviously you're not aware of it, but I'm sure you are. Those silly dovers are aware of it. I recall in the 50s and 60s...
Another revolution.
I'm sorry?
Another revolution.
Yeah, but I'm talking about many, many countries in Africa that were under colonial control, and it was essentially wrested away from them by people who live in these countries, I call them the local yokels, and they basically, see, Yona, I have to speak a bit more, euphemistically. Anyway, you guys are impossible. It's from coast to coast here. Anyway, so I'm aware of that. That's what I meant. That coast seems to be more like the Barbary pirates. So anyway, the Kitzur Nimrod, what you have is essentially you had revolution, anarchies, where literally governments were toppled left and right, but unfortunately it was not bloodless. Literally it was incredible. Unfortunately, tragically, even Harayom HaZed, you see it, that's no question about it. However, says Rav Kook, the revolution of Shemitah was a Mered without any bloodshed. A bloodless revolution. What does he mean by that? Because what happened was, this is what he describes at great length. I don't have time to talk about it, but he describes at great length that people who were formerly, shall we say, economically at the nadir of society, now were able to once again, as I said, be reunited with their homestead. There was an attempt to somehow equalize, at least create some sort of social economy. That's why Cook has a whole very beautiful essay. What the idea? Because we know that what happens in society in general, not just in the United States, also in this country, in Israel, after a period of time, you have people who, shall we say, rise to the top in terms of their socioeconomic status, and there are those who, unfortunately, are sinking, capsizing in the bottom, and there's quite a gap between the two. It exists anywhere and everywhere in the world. That's the way Kach Darko Shalom, that's the way the world operates. So the idea of the Torah, says Rav Kook, was to try to somehow create some sort of a balance. And this is what he claims that the idea of Shemitah was all about. Okay, but I just want to spell out again. So the distinctions, let's just get them in very sharp form, in bite-sized form, so make things easier for people. Number one, what I call Chetzer Gabra, distinction number one. Distinction number two, Shemitah is Sheva Al Tassel. And what is Yovel? Kumbase. Proactive, all the way. Correct? That's when you see incredible amounts of energy being expended. By the way, there's a very fascinating Machlokes Rashi and Ramban, that's good to be aware of. Very fascinating Machlokes Rashi reflects what I'm talking about. Rashi says the term Yovel, what is that term connected to? What is the word Yovel related to, according to Rashi? Anyone know? Yovel, according to Rashi. Rashi actually refers to the shofar that was blown on Yom Kippur, and it's similar to a shofar that was blown at Mamad HaSinai. How did Pali still know that now they could go ahead and ascend the mountain? The mountain was demarcated, if you recall. The Baltasam Sub of Lamor. It was demarcated into several segments. So how did they know when they were allowed to once again ascend the mountain? The Torah says, Bimshok HaYovel, Eimay Aluvar. You recall that term? Take a look in Parshas Yisro, just for a moment. Zerachumish, it should be helpful. Everything has to be seen inside. Pasuk says, at the end of Matan Torah, Bimshok HaYovel, Eimay Aluvar. This is a very significant term. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu told them. That's when they know they'll be able once again to ascend the mount. Look at Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yudgimel. The end of Pasuk Yudgimel, Bimshok HaYovel, Eimay Aluvar. What is Yovel? Rashi says, Kol Aruch, Husiman Silut Shrina. So now, when that shofar is sounded, Rashi says over there, Hayovel hu shofar shel ayil. Correct? And Rashi says, which shofar was it? The shofar that came from Elo shel Yitzchak. By the way, this call that the Torah describes here in Israel is one that we sound when? On Motzei Yom Kippur. That is the call which corresponds to the call HaShofar, which in effect represents Silut Shrina after Mamad HaSinai is over, and Motzei Yom Kippur, the Shrina, as it were, leaves. You know what they say over there in that organization? As the Shabbos ebbs away. Anyway, so in a similar kind of fashion, I'm not exactly of that ilk, so I apologize to him, though I think he's coming here very shortly. I heard Rabbi Elshin tell me tomorrow. He's a fine fellow. He's actually an outstanding fellow. He just had a nephew, I believe, because his father and I are sort of colleagues. His father's a Rav, Rabbi Berg. His father's a Rav in Flatbush. And actually, I have to be makir tov to his father. He came to a bris of a grandson about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Why? Because his father was the one who basically told me to call a certain young woman, who today is my wife, Baruch Hashem. And of course, I called her, and made a date, and sure. And the rest is history. Anyway, but the So therefore, Makitas, when I went to the bris of his grandson, I had no shaykhus to his other children. And this Rabbi Berger, I've met a few times, he's an outstanding person. Anyway, Rashi holds the word Yovel is related to what? The word shofar. The word Yovel, according to Rashi, is Hashem HaShofar that we blow on Yom Kippur. The Ramban disagrees. And guess what the Ramban does with the word Yovel? Very beautiful Ramban. The Ramban says, Yovel, anyone can possibly figure out, besides shofar, what else could the word Yovel, what other verbal form is embedded in the word Yovel?
Freedom of movement.
But that is, you are very distant. Take a look at the word, the shorish of the word. If you know, I'll give you an example. V'al yuval yishalach shorashot. Getting a tehillim. What does the word yuval mean? Besides the name that some people have, yuval. The word yuval in Hebrew. So the Ramban says, it refers to drawer. When the Torah says here, in Bahar, Ukrasim drawer Baharat Sechal Yoshvel. Freedom. Correct? So that, says Ramban, Shebo Yuvo Kol Ish Elachuzaso V'el Mishpachto. Servants. Correct? You love the Gemara Shoshana? So servants who are what? Who are basically indentured servants, if you will, or perhaps even beyond that, bonded servants. What happens to them? They are now?
Unbonded.
Correct. Thank you. They are released from their incarceration. And they are now, correct, they are emancipated. I've been repenting with knowing about this from his hometown, or home country, whatever, I won't get into it right now. But anyway, they are emancipated. So that's what happens. And Avodim are reunited with their families. People who lost their homestead are reunited with their homestead. So the Ramban said the word Yovel means Yuvol. What does Yuvol mean? To be brought? Brought back. Brought back to freedom, brought back to their homestead, brought back to their property. Very fascinating Ramban. He sees the word Yovel is related to the word draw. One second. So, distinction number two, as I said, is distinction between passive and active. Here you have a lot of activity happening in the course of Yovel. As I said, mentioned the Rav Kook who writes that this is a Mered Belipro. And the third distinction is what you said earlier at the very outset, namely that Shemitah is called by the Torah Shabbos. And what is Yovel called? Kodesh. One is called Shabbos and one is called Kodesh. And what you pointed out is correct. There's a beautiful Meshech Chochma, a very famous Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma is a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous sefer. Rabbi Simcha Kohen Midvinsk, the Rav in Dvinsk, and who else was the other Rav there in Dvinsk? Probably just as famous as he was. The Rav Shabbat Goyen, there were two Rabbanim in Dvinsk. He was the Rav of Chassidim, and he was the Rav of the Ashkenazim, of the Litvisha. That is the Rabbi Simcha, was the Litvisha Rav, and the Rav Shabbat was the Rav of the Abdul, two great Ga'inim, unbelievable Ga'inim. And he has a very beautiful idea that he develops over here in this parasha to distinguish between Shemitah and Yovel. And he said the distinction between Shemitah and Yovel can be compared to the distinction between what and what? Between? No, you said it basically before. It's the distinction between the word Shabbos, which characterizes Shemitah, and the word Kodesh, that characterizes Yovel. That's the distinction between two well-known institutions, namely between Shabbos and
Yom Tov.
And Meshech Chochma points this out. Exactly the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov is the distinction between Shemitah and Yom Tov. Now we get into your question, I've got to ask it. Next, namely, what is one of the distinctions between Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Gemara asks about Shas, the Gemara Mesachim, the Gemara Babasra, everywhere you go. Namely, the Kedusha of Shabbos. Excellent. The Kedusha of Shabbos, the Gemara says, Kavua Bakaimah. Gemara Mesachim, Gemara Babasra. Oh, Babasra. Poor Babasra. I cry for Babasra. Anyway, but the Kedusha of Shabbos is Kavua Bakaimah, which means that do we sanctify the Shabbos or does Hashem sanctify the Shabbos? Hashem sanctifies it. How do we know that? We know that from many, many rayas, but one of the rayas that you could easily bring is the raya from the bracha that we say in the davening. Baruch atah Hashem, mikadesh. Correct. Hashem came when it comes to Yom Tov. Who is mikadesh to Yom Tov?
Baruch
Yisrael. Mikadesh Yisrael v'azmanim. But the Gemara says in Beitza and elsewhere, all over Shas, in brachas, everywhere you go. The Gemara says that if Klal Yisrael is not mikadesh the Chag, or is not mikadesh the Yom Tovim, then clearly there's something lacking, something which is missing in the Kedusha of Yom Tov. Hashem and Shabbos, Shabbos is Kavua V'Kaima. And basically the distinction between the two is a very fundamental one, and that's what he explains. Rabbi Simcha says the same applies to Yovel and to Shemitah. Namely, this is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara has a machlokes about it. But the Gemara points this out in Masechet Hashanah. You guys already learned this piece of Gemara. I'm sure of it. What does the Gemara say over there? He says the following. When it comes to Yovel, so what does Yovel depend on? Depends on what happens on Yovel. Number one, Tkiah Shofar. Number two, Shiluach Avodim. Number three, returning the Karkos. We mentioned Shofar already. So the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, I believe it's the Gemara in the Testament of Beis, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I'm not exactly into Bekiah so much. But the Gemara says in the Testament of Beis that if these things do not take place, so what happens regarding the Yovel?
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. It's correct. It's not Yovel. And that's how the Rambam passes the halacha, I believe, in Peragiyu, the Cheshbita B'Yevo. The Rambam says it very clearly. The Rambam points out that this is the distinction between Yovel and Shmita. Shmita, says the Rambam, is what the Gemara calls all over Shas, Avkai to the Malkasa. What does it mean, Avkai to the Malkasa? The Melech is Mafkia. The Melech is the one who basically declares it to be, it's Kodesh, Bi'atzusa, Bi'mahusa. Its very essence is Kodesh. There's no need for us to be the Kodesh Shemitah. Just like there's no need for us to sanctify the Shabbos. Of course Hashem wants us to observe the Shabbos. Of course He wants us to sanctify the Shabbos. We do that. But even without our sanctification, the Dusha Shabbos is Chal. Hashem and Yovel, Yovel requires our hands-on, carrying out, implementing the halachas that are relevant to the din of Yovel. That's the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's the same distinction between Shemitah and Yovel. That's why, based on this from Hasidus, we understand that why the Torah uses one expression, and you pointed it out. Namely, when it comes to Shemitah, the Torah says, Shabbos, Hashem. Correct, what you said. 1,000%. You already said the very shiur, the very outset. You are able, Baruch Hashem, to intuit everything. You're outstanding. Not just you, all of you are, Baruch Hashem. Masha'en came. When it comes to Yovel, the language of the pasuk indicates Lachem, Lachem, Bisafarta, Be'avarta, Be'kidashta, Ukrosem, you. And if you does not take place, and you don't do it, then there is no concept. Unfortunately, it does not work. This is more or less the overall distinction. There's one second more between the two. And general, by the way, there's a Balamor. I believe says the Atim in the Kaddish, the Stash Shemitah as well, but the Pashtus is not like it. Pashtus is not like the Balamor, that really the Kedusha of Shemitah, as I said, is like the Kedusha of Shabbos and it's Chal automatically. And the Ma'arit has a long tshuva, with Marich a lot to be Masbir, this whole issue. Anyway, these are the three major distinctions. I just want to mention one more thing. And that is also another distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov you are aware of, undoubtedly. Shabbos, as you know, is related to what, shall we say, what event, according to the Ramban and according to the Torah, Bria Sa'olam. Shabbos, you know, there are two parshas of Shabbos, one in Yisrael, one in Eschanan, one relates to the Bria Sa'olam, and the other one relates to Tzias Mitzrayim, correct? But Shabbos essentially celebrates the Bria Sa'olam, the creation of the world on the part of Hashem, Chidush Olam, and that's what Shemitah is as well. Now Shemitah is the same idea. Where do you see that, by the way, in Shemitah, perhaps in the Pasuk, besides Shabbos Hashem? Essentially, the notion, the Torah says, Kili Kol Haaretz, means basically the idea, I'm going to discuss this in a moment if I have time, and this is Shabbos, and this is Shemitah, Hashem Kin Yovel. Yovel is comparable to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because Yovel basically is like Yom Tov. All Yom Tov Ma'zecher, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So here we see three distinctions between Shemitah and Yovel. You hear what I'm saying? It's hard. Three distinctions between Shemitah and Yovel that are very, very fundamental distinctions. Yes?
It seems that with the Yovel, everything just comes into, like, messed up a little because, like, oh, this is mine, I know this is mine, I know I bought from this guy. It's kind of a bunch of boss cases.
I'm not exactly sure what you are saying. You have to be more precise.
Like, I buy land from someone, and that person, and I sell to someone else. So then that third person has to find the original owner. It seems like it's
It's not so difficult, really, in terms of that. That land should return to its original owner. We're talking about 50 years later. We're not discussing something that happened in recent vintage. It's a long time ago. The Torah describes, actually, maybe I'll show you the psukim, but I don't want to discuss it right now, but if you remind me on tomorrow, then I'll try to show you the psukim that relate to this whole issue. I'm only indicating that there are fundamental distinctions between Shemitah and Yom Tov. But I want to just now express one other idea, or perhaps maybe a few other ideas. The Rishonim, when they talk about the idea of Shemitah, they speak about it from a number of different perspectives. The Rambam Mor Nebuchim, when he talks about Shemitah, so the Rambam there, in the third chelik of Mor Nebuchim, paragraph on the test, very famous chapter. The Rambam discusses the Hilchos Shemitah of Yom. He said basically it's designed for, as I said, socioeconomic reasons, similar to what I mentioned about Kukas. Rambam also has more in the Buchim. He's basically Hashem has rachmanis on people, and as you can see, actually, if you look at Shemos, Shemitah is mentioned a third time in the Shemos Parak of Gimel, which is the Parsha Mishpatim. What?
So whatever is mentioned here, shouldn't that be the here?
Good. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Very good. I like what you're saying very much, and that's how the Rambam apparently also saw it. Chav Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. You see Chav Gimel Yud Aleph in Mishpatim. The Torah says, "B'sheish Shalom Tzis Ba'azatecha Ve'asat Tzivasa Ve'ashvi'et Tishmitenu Ve'atashta Ve'ochel Elyoni Amecha." The fact that the land lies fallow, now the Aniyim are able to have access to the property. B'Yisrael Tochel Chayes Hasada Kein Tassel Ve'kamachol Ve'zeisecha. That's what the Rambam says. But the truth of the matter is that the Kol Yochar in Sefer Dvarim, I believe it's Parak Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. There, the Kol Yochar. Look at Dvarim for a second, Eric. Laban Allah Pasuk Yud Beis, but he talks about it in a different context. The context here is the context of Hakel, so it's not really so relevant. But he points out over there that generally, where does machlokas come from? Machlokas come from this notion of people who are very possessive. Shali, shali. You know the Mishnah there, zomer kula shali, zomer kushul. The first Mishnah, Bab Tzia. Each one wants to have possession. That's basically people are very possessive of their property. So what happens on the Shnas Hashmita? Kulam b'shaveh. Now they're all equal. This is again similar to what I mentioned before in the name of Rav Kook. And that's why many explain the idea of Shemitah based on that idea of social equality. But the Akeas Yitzchak, also a very famous sefer, Rav Yitzchak Aroma, is more philosophic work. So he writes actually, in his sefer, he points out that what exactly does Hashem want us to derive, what message does Hashem want us to, shall we say, absorb from the Shemitah year. So he says, I just read you his Lashon, he writes, L'hoyer es libeinu, to tell us, ki lo shulachnu heina lios avodin in karm la'adamah. We weren't sent down to this earth to be essentially servants who are somehow meshubah to real estate. U'knisaseinu la'aretz heina l'ishtabin lov la'avodasa u'lahotzi peros likvotasa yalad yakadin l'sasha me'em. The idea of Hashem creating us was not simply to become wealthy or to, shall we say, purchase large tracts of real estate. Raka kavana, kedeshiyamdu alatzma meyidushu shleimusam fibitzom boram. The kain kach yistapku meyashem yistapku l'kdechi yusam. Hashem simply wants us to basically be mistapim v'vuah. We're not obligated to spend our days just acquiring wealth. Something this gave me, one of my former talmidim, many, many years ago. He sent me, who gave it to me? Someone in the yeshiva gave it to me. You gave it to me. Greg Zuckerman is the top of the mind, how many years ago? 25 years ago. So he writes for the
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal. He's a well-known writer, he's the author of several books. He was the top of the mind probably more than 25 years ago. And he just gave me a book about a fellow named Paulson.
Andrew?
Named Paulson?
Yes, you know that name?
Former senior partner at Goldman Sachs and Secretary of Treasury.
But he went way beyond that.
What do you mean?
No, this is not Henry Paulson. His name is John Paulson. And he became one of the billionaires as a result of the economic crisis, which he saw before him. He saw it coming. I'm not going to get into all the details. I actually read the book in one night. And the night you gave it to me, you read the entire book until about 4 or 5 in the morning. He's an excellent writer. He described basically different people in the stock market and how they were able to deal with the economic crisis. There were those who really, shall we say, took a Humpty Dumpty kind of fall, a rather massive one. And the others, such as this fellow, Paulson, who somehow was able to, he saw the light. He was actually a minor player, not a major player. And he was able to utilize a certain strategy, which I don't want to discuss right now. I'm not, unfortunately, of that ilk. I don't have such such kochos and the like. But anyway, this Talmud of mine, so he wrote this rather bestseller. It's a best-selling book, for what I understand. He is an excellent writer, just an outstanding writer. Now, he doesn't need my askama. But I mention that because you see that essentially the book describes also different personalities with their unbelievable need to somehow line their pockets. They constantly find new ventures and new adventures in the stock market, even though they're going up and down like yo-yos. The zigzags are mind-boggling. Just, he describes a whole slew of personalities who, some went up, some went down, some actually lost everything. And he talks about their personal lives as well. That makes it, of course, very down-to-earth and very real. Anyway, I say that because you see the world is essentially concerned with acquisition of wealth. Nothing has changed from the days of wampum and the Indians, and it's just incredible. That's what the Torah wants us to basically avoid. But I would like to just stress one idea here in the towards the end of this shiur, and that is, if you look at Parakhafei here in the end of Ayikra, it's very clear to me what the main function of Shemitah is. Parakhafei, Psukim Chav Gimel Chavtal. And the Torah says it very clearly. I didn't read this to them yet. There's another Issa the Torah describes, V'ha'aretz lo simacher litzmisus. You're not allowed to sell the land in perpetuity. And why is that so? Ki li ha'aretz. Ki gerim misosham matemi modi. What are we, or what are you? We are but gerim misosham strangers. U'b'chol eretz ha'kuzasvem v'lo titnu la'aretz. The Torah here is telling us a very fundamental Yisrael. And that is, who is the real Balabais? Ribbono Shalom. He is the, shall we say, the landlord. And what are we? We are but tenants. Tenant farmers, if you will. We are tenants on this earth. He is the one who juridically has sovereignty. He is the one who is in control. That's what the pasuk says. V'yaretz lo simach lo tzmisus ki li haaretz. It is mine, Hashem Yisbarach says. He's the Balabais. We are only gerim v'toshavim. And a person has to recognize that. Who is the real Balabais? By the way, the reason why I say that, I am so amazed by what I see. The only thing I have over you is, I've said many, many times, you are clearly much brighter than I am, no question about it. You are obviously more intelligent, you're just somehow sharper. I have one thing over you. It's called age. You know, they say age before beauty. That's all I have over you. With age comes a bit of desire, a bit of experience in life and the like. I still cannot recover. I literally cannot recover from what happened several weeks ago when the plume of volcanic ash covered Europe. I just haven't recovered from it. Why do I say that? I have chaver who was stuck, one balabas in my shul, was stuck in Europe. He thought he was going to outlive all of them. He's going to take the trains to Spain and back to Rome, you know, just when the airports were still operating, and he's going to outwit them all. Every place he went to, came along the volcanic ash, and he was stuck, and thought he'd run back, and I don't mean run. Train system. Yeah, he spent a fortune of money, and he ended up being stuck in Europe. And he was pretty frustrated, you can imagine. And people, there were, by the way, yeshiva bachur. Someone showed me, one of the baby yeshiva, showed me an article in Mishpacha magazine. And the article spoke about yeshiva bachur, who, as we know, sometimes I won't not to come to Zdorin, and not to come to Minyanim, and not to come on time to the yeshiva. And there were hundreds of yeshiva bachur who were stuck in Europe, who didn't come before. If you came before on time to this man, then everything was fine. You missed the volcanic ash. And there were many who decided to come a day or two after, and they were stuck in Europe. So, uncanny. Of course, the Mishpacha magazine would understand, accentuate that. But let me just mention one point, and that is, to me it's amazing, we somehow think that we control everything. And they have psukim in Chumash that are very clear regarding, look at Dvarim just one second, Parakhes. It's like these psukim I'm very fond of. Parakhes and Dvarim, the Pasha Nekir, I believe it's still there. I hope so. Yes, it is. Pasuk Yudbeis, Torah says, Pen tochal v'sabata, uvatim tovim tibne v'yashavta. Here you're going to eat and wax plenty, and you're going to build these massive, beautiful homes. You're going to acquire cattle, gold, bullion, if you will, and real estate. And what happens usually? Then I buy myself, the way he describes in that book, I mean, the Peta describes that book, it's just mind-boggling. This book by Paulson describes how he bought a $7 million estate, and it was and then it's just incredible what people do with their money. It's just amazing. What does it lead to? You forget Hashem is Baruch. And that's exactly what the plume of volcanic ash to me was designed to. You know, by the way, I don't know if you saw, you probably did see, because you guys have access to all this material that I don't see. Bichlal. I read an article, a color feature, and someone showed me one of the in a scientific journal on this volcanic ash. I mean, white planes couldn't fly. You know how thick it was? Did you see the picture of it?
Mm-hmm.
It's volcanic ash. You have to see the picture. Love it. You have to see it.
What does it look like?
I'm talking about thick, black ash that probably is even, I imagine, something that you could literally, it's almost palpable. The way Chazal speaking about the Choshech in Mitzrayim, Choshech, Kofel, Chupo. What?
They can touch the
Choshech. And by the way, it takes a plane attempts to go through that. Goodbye, all the engines. I guess not funny. But that's exactly what we're talking about. So we think we're in complete control. We are not in control. And the quicker we realize we're not in control, the quicker we'll have, shall we say, a proper hakara for Hashem Yisbarach. And that's exactly what Shemitah is designed to really, I think, underscore and stress the fact that who's the Baal HaBayis? The Rebbe Shem, he's the Baal HaBayis. I just want to read you one little lashon, the language of the Rebbe Simcha. Again, I'm going to have time to read the whole thing, but he indicates very clearly that we are, as I said, here on a temporary kind of basis. Rebbe Shem Olam, he's Lanetzach. We are here temporarily. And to the extent that we recognize, shall we say, our Lilliputian origins and our finitude. That's correct. Max, you have just described it, except your picture is a little bit too big. Let's make it a bit smaller. Excellent. We're talking about, literally, we are not even a cipher or a census, and to the extent that we recognize that, then Baruch Hashem will have an understanding of what the Torah has in mind when it speaks about Shemitah Biyam.